lost to ignorance and confusion, three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they didn't expect the Spanish Inquisition. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil.
Well, hello there, and welcome to Song Talk Radio, all you people out in radio and podcast land. It's Bruce, Neil, and Phil again. Episode number, you ready? 248.
What?
That's a lot.
How did that happen? This is the show, 5 years.
Because we got 247 last week. That's how.
This is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. That's correct. Mm-hmm. We share tips, tools, techniques, and alliterative things. So together, at the end of all this, we all become just a bit better at writing songs. I'm your host, Bruce Harrett. Oh. And joining me tonight are the dedicated and often decorated members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team, Mr. Phil Emery. How are you, Phil?
I am very well, excited to be here and excited to be anywhere.
How's lettuce? You're staying away from lettuce.
I had the bad lettuce, and boy, you do not want to have E. coli. It is not fun.
No.
Absolutely not.
So watch out for the brown lettuce. Yeah. Neil Modi is here as well.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out why I suddenly feel like having a Middle Eastern shawarma or something.
We've been talking about baba ganoush.
Baba ganoush and hummus. Although I won't have it with lettuce, I guess.
No. We'll have that. Anyway. And filling in Vanessa, who is under the weather tonight.
Oh, we'll feel better, Vanessa.
Better.
Maybe she got the lettuce.
I think it's just a cold. Yes, so on social media for filling in for Vanessa is singer, songwriter, and tall and blonde and wonderful friend of the program, Linda Lavender.
Woo! Thank you, Linda. Bruce.
Yeah, she's my favorite hippie. And working the sliders and buttons, it's Michael Proudfoot.
Hey, Michael.
And he has a lot to be proud of about his feet. Have you seen them? They're beautiful. During the
show,
send your comments, questions, and show ideas to SongTalk at SongTalk Radio on Twitter or Facebook, feedback@songtalk.ca, or we'll share them, and then we'll share them with the audience in real time, whatever that is. I think it means live. And please stop by our website at songtalk.ca to find out how you could be a guest on our show, Tonight, Cynthia Baba is here. And she started out her career calling herself Cynthia Baba Ganoush, just as a joke. And then people think that's her actual name. Come on, people. She's not a Middle Eastern dip. She's Cynthia Baba.
She's not made out of eggplant either.
And she fronts Toronto-based band The Naive. Is that the way to say it? Yeah,
you got it.
The Naive. And she plays guitar. She does vocals, keyboards. She's the principal songwriter. You know, the guys in the band know without her, they're nothing. Basically, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Of course.
No, that's not
without
nice.
Them, I'm nothing.
There you go. Last year, they released their debut EP, Saw the Sun, followed by the single My Guitar, which you're going to hear live tonight. And they released that in July of this year. The Naive released their most recent music video on November 19th for the single The Moon off their debut EP. And that was shot and directed by, guess who? Marlon Chaplin.
Yes.
Who was a guest on our show just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And I guess with you, Cynthia.
Yeah.
So welcome, Cynthia.
Hello. What's
welcome
going
back.
On? It's nice to be back, guys.
Is this your third visit to the show?
It is my third visit, yes.
Mm-hmm. But you've been here with Marlon a couple times as well.
So I'm counting that. Maybe
that, yeah.
Four, actually.
Oh,
but
wow.
This is the second time on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I guess we like you.
Yeah. Thank you.
So,
I'm flattered.
tell us a bit about this EP. How long was that in the development in terms of writing songs to get? Is an EP six songs? Is that what it is?
It's actually, this EP was four songs.
Yeah.
We released it in January 2017, last year. And the development of the songs took a long time. There were a lot of old tunes that, you know, this was my first project and I really wanted to do something with those songs.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we recorded them.
So how many years before the release would one of the songs on the album have been written? Like, what's the longest, the oldest song?
Well, a lot of them I wrote when I was 19, actually.
And you're 40 now, right?
So yeah, man.
No, how many? I mean, I wasn't going to go with your age, but how many years ago was that?
Okay, so about 10 years ago.
Okay,
actually,
right.
Actually, exactly, so 10 years ago.
So you're 25.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, okay. When it comes to putting together a four-song EP, I mean, I'm assuming you had lots of songs to choose from.
Yeah, I wanted to go with those ones in particular because they were just the ones that stuck with me throughout all those years, you know?
They were just your favorites.
Yeah, well, exactly. Train was the most recent one out of all of them. And then Dirty Streets, The Moon, and Saw the Sun were all ones that I wrote around the same time period.
Hmm. That's interesting. So in terms of your writing, do you write all the time or just when the spirit moves you?
In spurts, I go through times where I am writing a lot, playing a lot on my own, and then I will go through months without writing anything.
Now, do you worry about it during those fallow periods?
I used to, but I've learned not to. And it's interesting because whenever I have little ideas, I always pull up my phone and record them. And I forget how many little ditties I have in my phone. And then I pull them out and I'm like, oh, this could be a song. And then, like, you know, whatever hits me, I'll work
on. So that's a great tip. So you actually, you kind of, not exactly catalog them, but you do go over them after a few months go by or whatever.
Exactly. Once in a while, I kind of touch base and I'm like, right, I forgot about this thing. And you know what? Stuff does come out of them sometimes. Mm-hmm. So don't forget about all the little things you record.
Absolutely.
We always like to ask this question about starting a song. We had a whole show about starting a song. We brought in some instruments here and we talked about starting on guitar, starting on keyboards, starting on drums, starting with a vocal, starting with a lyric. There's many ways to dive into a song. Mm-hmm. Do you have a particular way you do it?
It goes with phases or it always changes. Sometimes, like in particular with Saw the Sun EP, I was writing on keyboards a lot.
Did it start with the melody on the keyboard, chord, progression, lyric? Do you have a favorite way to start?
For The Moon, for instance, it started with me being outside staring at the moon, as stereotypical as that sounds, but that's what happened. And then the melody came to my mind, and then as soon as I sat on the piano, the first thing that I played was the thing that made sense. And then for most of them, I would be playing around on the piano and then like singing whatever melody was in my head at the same time, putting it all together. But recently, ever since then, when I record on my phone, it's usually a lot of like melodies I sing, or sometimes it'll just be like a keyboard line or a guitar line, and I'll go with that.
Do you ever start with a lyric? Like you see something in the newspaper and you go, that is an interesting line for a song.
That's funny because that's the last song I've written, which I haven't even shown my band yet. Yeah. That's what happened. I was watching a TV show. And I don't even remember the TV show, but there was one line that an actress said that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And
what was
I
it?
Just
can't remember.
Every day we have these little battles. Wow, it's funny. If I don't sing it, I don't remember it.
Go ahead, sing it. We're on a musical problem.
Every day we have these little battles going on inside of us. So I started the song that way.
Nice.
And then wrote an entire song based on that one line.
Right on.
I know Neil has battles inside himself every day, and I certainly do.
You're losing them, Bruce.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but I didn't say whether you're winning or losing. But we all have that internal dialogue, right? That's a great... And like, la-da-da-da-dee-dee-dee, because it's a pretty heavy subject, but you've got a nice little melodic hook. So I hear you're driven by melody mostly.
I am. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And even the way that the actress was pacing that line inspired the rhythmic quality of that melody.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because listening to your stuff, it is like often, you know, we can sort of guess with songwriters like what came first, the lyric or the melody or the chord progression or something. And your songs, at least the two that you sent today, are very well balanced in that regard. But they are very melody strong.
Yes. Like,
and that seems to be with the moon and with the guitar. That's kind of where you started, was with that main hook.
That is true. But funny enough, now that I'm actually here making me think about it, when I write on nylon string particularly, because I'm very inspired by bossa nova music, I let the chords lead me more. But that's the only instance. Only when I'm fooling around on this beautiful guitar. Otherwise, I do mostly think about melody.
Do you want to give a plug for your guitar?
So it's a Mr. Godin.
Mr. Godin. Monsieur Godin.
Monsieur and Mrs.
Where is it made?
It's made in Canada, Quebec.
It's made in Quebec? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard of Godin before. Phil, you've heard of Godin guitars before?
Yes.
Yeah,
no, they're fine.
Yeah, they're supposed to be quality instruments.
Yeah, they're one of the best ones, local Canadian made. There's actually a lot of Canadian
Seagull
guitar companies.
Yeah, mine's a Seagull.
Yeah, you have a Seagull.
And they have another company which is the same but a different name. I can't remember what it was.
Mm. Art and Luthier.
Who?
Art and Luthier.
No, Luthier? No problem. Yeah. Now, your stuff, every time I listen to it, it always seems very jazzy to me, but is that more, is it more bossa nova than jazz, or...?
My guitar particularly is more bossa nova. Mm-hmm. I don't really think about jazz or bossa nova when I'm writing, because that was my education. It just kind of, it's in my system. It lingers now, so it comes out.
Okay.
You were educated in Brazil?
No. Oh. No. I went to U of T in the jazz program, but I'm...
Oh, you were in the jazz program, so you have that influence.
Okay. Oh, right.
So it's just
you
in me now, but it's not something that I'm necessarily gearing toward as like my style or genre of music. When people ask me, I call myself a pop artist, and I play pop music.
Yeah, because there is a strong pop sensibility to what you're doing as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's nice when you're... I mean, like you say, you don't think about genre, and that shows because you're floating... From moment to moment, even there's a little bit of sprinkle of this and a little sprinkle of that, and it all comes together and just ends up being your thing. Right?
That's how I like it. Rainbow sprinkles through the dust.
So, have you been when you bring the songs into the band? Has the band been doing the arrangements, or how is that working out between you and the band in terms of the writing and the?
Oh, we talked about this last time you were on the show when you said you're a control freak.
No, that's not me. Well, maybe you're remembering someone else.
Maybe it was them that said no. It was the band that said that.
So
now
maybe
you're getting
that was
them in trouble. And, but what does happen, as Phil said? How do you work with your band with your ideas?
So I write the songs by myself, always, whether it's on guitar or on keyboards. I always have a skeleton laid down on an instrument with me singing. And when I bring in the songs, I don't really say anything. We just go through them and see what happens. And I'm interested to see what their take on it is and where it goes.
You're never presuming where the bass line is going to go or what the guitar lick is going to be.
Who's in your band? What instruments?
So on bass is Alex Lacusta. On drums is Stefan Hegret. And Brandon Wall plays electric guitar. I play keyboards and guitar. And sometimes we have some backup singers join us on harmonies. Usually it's Jocelyn Barth and Jackson Welchner nowadays. Yeah.
Mm, great.
Yeah.
Are you going to be performing in the next couple of months in Toronto?
Absolutely. I'm going to be having our next show is at The Painted Lady on December 5th on a Wednesday with Emily Raquel and her band opening. And then we're ending the night. And this is...
Painted Lady, is that Roncesvalles?
No, it's actually on Dundas and Ossington, and it's in honor of the release of our latest video.
Did you see Avery Raquel?
Emily Raquel. No,
Emily Raquel.
We had an Avery Raquel.
Yeah, we had Avery Raquel on the show. She's not old enough to get into a bar, though.
I'd like to hear a song.
Let's hear a song.
Why don't we play, we're going to play a recorded song from that EP, which is called Saw the Sun, debut EP, and... this one is written, of course, by Cynthia Baba, and it's called The Moon.
The moon's got a melancholic look on its face, but tonight it's got a sad face so confused. With its eyes rolled over to the side, it tells me through the brightness of its light, something's changed in the world, something's wrong. The moon sees, but we don't. But the moon's got the same expression, nothing has changed. Over the clouds.
That would be The Moon by Cynthia Baba and her band, The Naive. The
Amazing.
Band's called The Naive, and that's called The Moon. And wow, that was really cool. I mean, Neil, why don't you can jump in first. But what an interesting, the chorus lyrics keep changing every chorus. I've never seen that before. Rarely. Cool. So good for you. Neil.
There's so many things I love about this song. I mean, where do I start? Okay, the hook, right? The beginning, yeah. Okay, so obviously the hook. Something's changed in the world. Something's wrong. The moon sees that. The melody just soars right up. It's super catchy and memorable, which is where the pop influence comes in, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, jazz can be catchy, but I don't think it's ever like that catchy, you know? And that consistent, because even though you change the lyrics every time, and even the phrasing's always the same, the melody's always the same, but it's not like something's changed, and then the next time you do it, it's so hard, you know, it's like you're breaking the phrase in a different location, but the melody absolutely remains consistent. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great example of, you know, keeping one thing the same and changing something, another element. And
what's so interesting, because, you know, you have like a short verse. I mean, your notes are long and kind of legato. So, I mean, the verse is a good length. But then you have a really catchy chorus, which is short. And it's interesting because you set up a very tight initial chorus. I mean, in terms of the something's changed the world, something's wrong with the room. See what we don't. There's a certain specific rhythm that you've set up. Then you have another short verse, and then you have these two chorus variations where you totally break that, which is so interesting. But it's still clear that it's a chorus
because the melody is consistent.
The melody is so tight.
Yeah.
But even like the number of syllables in your verse, they're just totally different, which is just such an interesting approach. Was that something you sort of intended to do this, or was it just kind of a natural response? Or
it was two things. I had more to say, so I just kept going with what was coming to me lyrically. But at the same time, I did have the intention of remaining within that frame rhythmically and sticking to the melody and keeping it the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I was keeping that in mind as I was coming up with the lyrics.
Right.
Even verse to verse, you weren't a slave to verse one had X number of syllables in the first line. So like verse two has to have that number of syllables.
Again, same thing in the verses. Like, I wanted to stick to the rhythm and, you know, the syllables making sense to the melody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they scan slightly differently. What I like that. I mean, it's very few songwriters that come in here and change up the lyrics in their chorus. And, you know, the purists would say, Well, that's not a good idea because the chorus is usually the hook and you want people to remember it. So,
sing along.
But I don't think that's true here because the melody is so memorable. I like the bass solo, too. It's very unusual in pop music.
That's super cool.
Some
well,
of you don't hear very often.
I think that's made me think of jazz because your approach is very jazzy. Of course, you have that jazz background because you've trained in jazz.
Yeah, the scatting at the
end. Yeah, but it's also just the way you approached it. I mean, the fact that you had a chorus, because a pop producer would come in and say, that's a great, great chorus. The Something's Wrong, it's like, it's hooky, it's singable, it's easy to sing all the way through. And I'm sure he would be pushing you to have that at least in somewhere, like every time you did the verse, chorus. Because even at the end, in your outro, you have the same lyrics as the first chorus, but again, a totally different variation on the chorus.
Yeah.
So it's a very kind of jazzy sort of arrangement. It's not a very straightforward pop song.
I liked how you I liked how you did two things at the end. So what people call a breakdown or a major shift in a song to signify there's a shift happening, you both slowed down and got quiet. And brought out some of the instruments. So it was very chill. And this is another thing that a lot of writers don't do that we've had on here is to actually change the tempo because you slowed it right down there, right? And
it feels and like it, that, but we didn't
it's not,
really.
You were still on a click track like you were?
Yeah. It just feels that way because there's
because
so much more
down.
Space.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There is, like right after the bridge, there is a hold, like a conductor's eye, as they say.
For sure.
Right? There is a hold, and then you go into the quiet chorus.
Absolutely.
Whether that's, you know,
well, hold, what
tempo.
Are you calling the bridge, like the bridge sort of the after?
After the bass solo.
After the bass solo, okay.
That wasn't another verse, was it? Or was that a bridge?
But I think I guess you could call that a bridge.
But
the
slowdown part was, I think, something's changed in the world.
Now that I think about it,
we might have slowed it down a little bit.
I think you did.
Yeah.
Because then you sped it up. And it had a really nice move. It moved, which was really great.
It's an interesting aspect of modern recording because everyone wants to do stuff to a click because it's easy to edit.
Yeah, and overdub.
But the problem is, great music isn't done on the click. I mean, that's a great thing about working with a band because, you know, bands will sort of speed up a little bit in the chorus or, you know, they'll slow down at the beginning of the chorus and then speed up towards the end.
Yeah.
There's all these very subtle, subtle things musicians can do when they're working together where if you play to a click, you tend to not do those things.
Did the Beatles use a click, people like that?
Yeah, his name was Ringo.
So they use the drum as their track, as to stay on track.
Yeah. Well, they would actually do the
rhythm.
Bends together.
Like
guitar, bass, drums, usually all at once.
Right, cool.
I'm so on the same page with you about that because in the song particularly, I always ask my band to lay back a little bit during every chorus.
Yes.
Because if it's at the same pace as the verses, it feels a little bit too fast.
So you want to
when you're live,
lay
you mean.
Back.
When you're live,
So you want to lay back in the chorus.
Yeah,
as
just
opposed
a tad.
To going... Instead of pushing the chorus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, is that sort of in general with most of your songs? Or
No, just this song
just
particularly.
This one. Interesting.
Cool.
Yeah.
I really like the chorus was so catchy, and you only did it once the first time around. And the first time I heard this song, I'm like, no, I wanted that again. But then you did it twice the second time around, which is a smart thing to do. It's kind of, you're teasing the listener a little bit because it's so catchy. That, and then you just go back into this verse. I'm like, no, I want that chorus again.
Well, it's interesting because the chorus never really comes around again in that exact same form.
In the not exactly the same way, but at least but the part of it that's catchy is the melody, and that certainly comes
back.
Yeah,
but I mean, even the melody at the end is different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it?
Well,
the melody's the same. The chords are different.
The chords are different.
Okay.
It gets a little more intricate. Like,
tell
it's still
us about
staying
that.
Within
tell us
the...
that for the chord... fans out there, what
can you demonstrate
you end?
On
your
guitar?
Member,
what it
or
is?
Can you play it on guitar?
I can't play it on guitar, but I can tell you what's going on. I'm still sticking to the same bass notes as the chorus, which is going between G and E back and forth. Mm-hmm. But the chords on the top, the voicings that I'm playing, are moving down progressively. So there's a little bit more rub. There's some like seconds apart in there as well. So it's going from G on the bottom of the right hand, then falling to F sharp, then falling to E, and then falling to D.
Oh,
so
wow.
The chords are moving, descending down while the scatting is going on.
You know, what a great way of expanding. Like,
you're doing that during the scatting or during the something's coming down?
During the outro. I call that section the outro, yeah, which is something I added later on while I was like fooling around one day for no reason.
And that's a great way of expanding your musical palette, is by keeping your bass notes but playing around with the and keeping your melody but then playing around with the chords in between.
So I'm playing back and forth on the bass notes on the keyboards, but I asked my players to just keep a drone going on the, I can't remember if it's the G or the E right now, but yeah, they're droning the whole time on one bass note while I move back and forth.
Fascinating stuff.
And the right-hand chords are changing, but your vocal melody is staying the same.
My vocal melody at that point is moving around, but it is the same as the chorus at the beginning, yes.
Yeah, yeah, something's changed.
Exactly.
But the scatting, of course, you're doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, when something's changed comes in, it's the same exact thing as the chorus.
Right.
It's just a different way of portraying that. Mm-hmm.
So how many edits did this song go through? You're writing it.
So when I first wrote it, the first thing I came up with, I believe, was the chorus. And then it naturally led me to the verse. It felt like it should fall onto, you know, the B minor. And then after that, I left it for a bit, as I usually do. And then I was like, okay, so, you know, do the standard thing. Do the verse, chorus, verse, chorus. And then when I did the second chorus, I felt like it needed another chorus added to that, so it became a double chorus. I was like, you know what, it's not enough. I feel like I want to hear more of this. And then I left it there, and then that next bridge section also felt natural. It just came after that. And the outro was something I added a little bit later on, like I said, when I was just fooling around, and I said, you know what, this would be cool. Let's just add this on.
I think I would title it Something's Changed.
Well, I was just thinking the same thing. You called it the moon because it started with you staring at the moon.
The
moon doesn't. What they'll remember is Something's Changed.
I think Something's Changed stands out as a title.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's what people will call it. So, you know.
They get to call it whatever they want.
That Something's Changed song.
Something's Changed song. with the bass solo.
It's interesting that break, you know, before the slow part. It's just long enough that I could see it sort of throwing off a DJ, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like the song's fading out. We're done. Oh, wait. No, not quite.
There's a couple of songs that are like that. I always thought that was kind of a fun thing to do.
Absolutely.
Speaking of fun, I think we should listen to a message just for a moment here. And we'll be right back.
Okay, for those of you just joining us, you are listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. We're streaming on songtalk.ca, and tonight our guest is Cynthia Baba. Don't forget, we love to hear from you, so please tweet in your thoughts to us at Song Talk Radio on Twitter or via email at feedback@songtalk.ca. We'll share your thoughts here on the show. And you can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on the show on our resources page at songtalk.ca. And coming up in the next couple of weeks, Tuesday, November the 27th. Mm-hmm. Next Tuesday, the return of super composer and big music brain guy Frank Horvat.
That's always a great choice.
Yeah, and he's got a really interesting project that he wrote for a string quartet.
And he's prolific.
And he's prolific, yes. And December 4th, we're heading into our holiday season. We'll be doing a repeat episode that night, How to Approach the Press, which we did a few months ago, which is a very informative show. And if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup on Thursday, December the 13th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Transat Club. It's free to join and free to attend. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link over to the meetup. And we got some emails.
We got email, but first, our musician's joke.
Oh, yes.
That's what we do here. What's the difference between a musician and a 14-inch pizza?
Oh, I don't know.
A 14-inch pizza can feed a family of four. And we got some replies from last week's gift show.
Yes.
One from Methusky M.K. Glomo. I'm sorry for damaging your name. You have to send me how to pronounce it. How about and this is a great one. How about a nice little voice recorder? For obvious reasons, and because cell phones are overused, it would be nice to have something purposed for capturing creative ideas. And I would definitely say that. The Zoom Yeah. There's a Zoom Force recorders. 20 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially if you play with a band, because cell phones get overloaded, and the Zoom has an automatic gain control.
Yeah.
So it doesn't overload, so it works really well for
rehearsals and stuff.
Yeah, for rehearsals.
Yeah, I do that.
What does that retail?
And it's stereo,
yeah,
too.
But it's also the idea of having a dedicated device, too. Yeah. Like if it's somewhere on your phone, you probably won't go back to those little notes that you recorded as opposed to
having
a dedicated
device
for
it. How much would that set you back, Phil?
You can get better for like
300?
I've seen them. I got mine for $100. You can get them on special. There's
yours was probably fell off the back of a truck, though, right?
And we have one from Kevin Milner, a new guitarist, Snark Tuners. He's a big fan of or handy.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
And a rhyming dictionary or a journal, which is another one.
Mm-hmm.
We got from John Cahill a book, which I can't seem to find. Songwriters on Songwriting. Did you read that one?
We talked about that one before.
I think so, yeah.
Someone mentioned it.
Paul Gallagher, anything by Pat Patterson. He has a couple of work boots, lyric and song structure, and one on rhyming that allow one to practice the exercises. Done them a couple of times. Very liberating.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for all those suggestions.
Great tips.
Yeah.
And
what are they going to buy me, though?
They're going to buy you
nothing. Same as last year.
And we got a great email from Stephanie. She has Stephen Tate's album, winging its way to her. I really enjoyed this episode and was compelled to write in to thank Neil for the terrible punniness of "It's all Greek to me" about halfway through the show. Neither grow nor peep out of the others.
Except that it was Phil who said that.
That does sound like me, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could just envision the flat stares from the guys and his thought bubble, tough crowd.
Mm.
Thanks for a good laugh. Those little sides make you guys are part of what makes this an easily likable and personable podcast.
Uh-huh.
Cheers, Stephanie. Thanks, Stephanie, for writing. And I think that is it for the email.
Uh-huh.
So don't forget to always send us an email at feedback@songtalk.ca, and we'll read them on the show.
Yeah.
Yes, so back to
and didn't Brucey. somebody win a Stephen Tate's album or
that
something?
Would be Stephanie.
No, that's Stephanie.
Yeah, we're going to send her a Stephen Tate's album.
That's why it's winging its way.
I don't know if it's winging with the strike, but
it'll get there
eventually.
In February.
There are 1,000 transport trailers sitting in parking lots across Canada loaded with parcels.
Great. Can I have one?
1,000. But they'll be moving soon.
Yes.
Not to where, kids.
Soon enough.
So how did this song, My Guitar, start? Was that a hook?
Were you
staring at your beautiful guitar and saying, "Gaudin, I love you. Monsieur Gaudin, je t'aime beaucoup."
So it was one of the first songs I wrote on this guitar. I had just gotten it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing on this one a lot. And it started... This was one of the songs that progressed very naturally. It started with me playing this hook. And I just liked how the voicing sounded. So I just kept playing this and began singing a melody on top of it.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah. It's like it's an A, isn't it?
Pardon?
An A chord?
Is it?
Yeah.
It's an A with a little extra on it there. Hmm. You know, you can't go wrong with A.
No, you can't.
When I was, I don't know if you kids at home do this, but sometimes I'll just listen to the radio, pick up my guitar and listen to the radio and see if I can find the key and the chord progression.
Mm-hmm. It's
because
good thing to
I never learned how to do that, like play by ear. I play off chord charts, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, a lot of songs are in A. Did you know that, Cynthia?
I didn't know that because I'm the opposite of you. In fact, I don't know what I'm playing at all.
Okay.
Everything I play is by ear.
Oh, okay. So you didn't know that was an A chord?
No. What I do is, I'm self-taught on guitar. I just make stuff up, and then I will transfer it to the piano by ear so that I write charts for my band. I used to do that. I don't really feel like I need to do that
I used
anymore.
To do that. Actually, yeah. I wrote stuff on guitar and then manually moved it over to the piano because I didn't know how to play piano.
Yeah.
So I play piano like I play guitar. So you do like an octave, fifth, and an octave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that's the way you do a guitar. And then like the stuff on the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it turns out that's the way
a lot of piano players do
guys do because it's you do block chords that way.
Speaking of which, it's kind of tricky to have a guitar and a piano in a band, right?
You
don't want to double up on. You talked about this before.
Yes.
One of the cardinal sins is for the guitar to play the same chord progression as the piano. It gets really
weird. The same riff or the same melody.
Same riff, yeah.
Right.
Because it's like, why? It gets confusing. Right?
Well, you have to be conscious when you're playing in a band about stepping on each other's frequency toes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the guitar is often in the same frequency range as the voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the guitar make, you know, especially if you have a separate guitarist and a singer, the guitarist has to make sure that he's not doing stuff that conflicts or fights with the vocal.
But on the other hand, it's a really good opportunity to start introducing some interesting melodic phrases into your live arrangements or even your band arrangements or whatever, right? Because the guitar can be doing something that's kind of straight and rhythmic, and a keyboard could be doing something a little bit different melody that's even offsetting the vocal melody.
Well, as Phil has often said, the trick of playing in a band is knowing when to not play.
Yeah.
Because you have to get your ego out of the way, I think, and just say, you know what? I don't want to play. I should step back here and let that come forward. Mm-hmm. Because if everybody's trying to play all the time, it just gets, unless you have a really good arranger, writes it out. But I think bands figure that out, right? What sounds good.
So, I'm lucky to have a band that is very good at listening, for sure.
And
when it comes to what you were talking about earlier, we do talk about that sometimes, my guitar player and I, when we're both playing guitar in certain tunes. You know, if I have like a lower, more warm tone on my electric, I'll say, hey, why don't you like play a little bit higher?
Yeah.
I usually play rhythm on guitar and on keys, and I kind of let him play more melodically and roam freely.
Yeah, and that's usually the way to go.
Are you writing more on guitar or on keyboard? Because keys, that's your first instrument is keys. Is keys piano, right?
Honestly, it always goes back and forth. I started writing my very first songs when I was around 17 on guitar. And it was a nylon string. That was my first guitar. And then I started playing on piano a lot and then guitar. And it goes back and forth.
And all by ear. You never, even though you play, like, usually piano players know their theory. Usually.
It's somewhere in there in my brain. I don't know.
Well, if you can do it by ear, you're probably better off.
Would you like to play your guitar now?
Sure.
Maybe it's time for a live song. This is a live performance here from Song Talk Radio. And we're going to hear the song called My Guitar. And this is written by Cynthia Baba, of course. And it's played on her beautiful Godin guitar. So here we go, Cynthia Baba with My Guitar.
I just need some time to myself so I can do what I want. My guitar tells me what to play. It sings songs and puts them in my mind. Till I'm people come around and sit inside my home, and I listen to all their worries, tell them a few of my own. But when it's time to go, all I got is my guitar. Give me sense of will. to the wise strings, pluck away my fears. Till all my worries, all my cries are left behind.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. And that was My Guitar, written and performed by Cynthia Baba here in the studio live. Beautiful, beautiful control. And again, some really cool changes. Like, you're not afraid to do dramatic changes.
And, yeah. It's
so cool because what's coming into stark contrast now is that most of the songwriters are coming in here. It's in 4-4. Right through, nothing shifts much, and what you do, what you bring this freshness is you just stop the song, you're going to do a bridge thing, oh, I think I'll do Bossa Nova here for a while, and I'll go do-ba-ba-ba-do-ba, and then that stops, and then you come right back into the same simple chord progression, right?
What's interesting is that there's like the tempo that goes down there, like it was, most people wouldn't actually go to a lower tempo at the end of the song.
Because so the bossa picked up tempo than the bridge.
You picked up the tempo a bit.
Yeah.
And then you sort of brought it down, which is a really different way of approaching
it.
Well,
it's the same way the first song, the ending was quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a build-up towards the end. It was a
chill. Did you notice that she ended the song with the end of the first verse?
Yeah, that's because you almost never repeat a line, except that one time, which I thought was sort of interesting.
Yeah, which is really nice, actually.
That's what you guys are for. I didn't even notice I did things like that.
So I've got a question. So on the lyric shelter sheets on the website, Phil?
Yeah.
No? Yes? Yep. Okay, so everyone out there, you can check out the lyric sheets on the website. And you've actually written down scatting, do, pa, pa, po, di, right?
Yeah.
Scatting 101. Like, people hear scatting, and probably most people, myself included, think it's kind of random, right? But you've actually deliberately said, I'm going to do a do, pa, pa.
Yeah.
And whatever. Is that something you always do? You plan out your scats, or at least... Well, maybe you do it once and then write it down? Or do
with the moon and the song, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just like consistency. And also, in this song, I have backup singers usually singing harmonies with me on the scat part. So I wrote out what the scat was so that we could all be on the same page.
Is that really considered scatting if it's actually written
down? If it's not improvised?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, there's improvised scatting and then there's just...
Because you don't know, like with Ella Fitzgerald, for example, you don't know whether she rehearsed that 10 times and nailed that one, that particular scat that worked, or whether she's making it up live in the studio.
I guess if you heard her in concert, you could compare to the recording or whatever. Yeah. But I don't know, you always get the impression that it's improvised.
Well, it's supposed to sound like that.
But you can't do that with harmonies.
No. If you have backup singers, that poses a problem. if you want to improvise it.
You have some really... hockey rhythms, like the my guitar tells me what to play. It's kind of an interesting way of approaching a hockey.
Did you start with melody for this or lyric? Like you started with the guitar chords.
Both at the same time, actually. The first line of the verse was the first thing that came to me.
So when you come up with melodies, you say you do melodies first, you just do la la la's or scats or whatever. Like
no, I sing the words.
Oh, you always sing the words those. So when you say you come up with melody, you've got words attached.
A lot of the time I do, yeah. And then like I kind of just figure out the rest of the lyrics based on what the initial lyrics that come to me are.
So what came out of your head was, I just need some time.
I just need some time to myself, yeah.
So this is a song about you and your guitar, the relationship you have where you can go to your guitar and be comforted, it sounds like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that other people come around and they tell you their problems, but they go home and then you go to your guitar. So I think there's a really cool theme in here, which is, for me, songwriting was very therapeutic in difficult times in my life. A lot of people say when they're going through emotions, somebody said to me once when I was performing, they knew me, and then they saw me perform and said, where did all those feelings come from? And I said, well, I can only express them in songs. I can't do it in when I'm talking to people, right?
Yeah.
I was more emotionally reserved, but in the song, I could find the feeling and then express it. And not that you write songs in lieu of therapy, but that you express your emotion, hopefully, and that connects to the audience. So other people would say it's not my guitar, but maybe it's my favorite chair, my favorite book.
Right.
I don't know.
Or, I mean, the way I was reading it was just the sort of relationship and the power of music in general. Because I don't know if I got a bit of a soft spot in my heart for, like, songs that are about the joy of music to a certain extent. Right? Like, I remember, you know, years ago when I started getting back into music after having a kind of a hiatus for a few years where it wasn't a big part of my life. And then as it was becoming more and more part of my life, I heard a song. Actually, it was one of our first guests on the show, Nicole Coward, who wrote this song called Music, My Old Friend. And it really got to me. It says, oh, yeah, my old friend. It's like if I'm back, right? And this song sort of speaks to me that same way, that is that comfortable place. And it's the place where you feel, like you're saying, Bruce, like you can express yourself best.
Right, and musicians have this real privilege of, I suppose a painter does too. Like
any artist.
Linda's a painter. Anybody who's an artist has this opportunity to go and find consolation, expression, let emotions go through us. And that's what I find when I can go to music and make some music. Or I can sometimes when I'm a bit stuck emotionally, I just pick up my guitar and play one or two songs full on. In my apartment, like full-on performance, and I just start to feel more like myself.
Yeah,
right? Whoever that is, still figuring that out.
Neil. Oh yes,
that is one thing I miss from not being in a band, because after a rehearsal, you just feel about 20 pounds lighter, and sort of invigorated. Just
or after
like
a
clears
gig.
Out all the crap, you know.
Or after a good gig,
or just even a good rehearsal.
Yeah,
and when you don't have that, you really kind of miss it. It kind of clogs
up
your brain.
I found through my life that. I looked back through my life and I saw the periods when I didn't have a guitar sitting in the living room were not great periods in my life. Like, I was not very happy. And then I saw the periods where there was a guitar sitting on a stand ready to be played. Mm-hmm. And those were the times when I was really in touch with who I am and I was expressing myself. Mm-hmm. Whether it was a relationship where there wasn't room for the guitar. Not room in this relationship for you, me and that guitar. The guitar's got to go. It was never like that. Nobody ever said that overtly. But in a sense, it was like, there's a relationship there with music, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, when you wrote this song, Cynthia, this was a brand new guitar, but it wasn't your first guitar.
No, it wasn't my first, no.
Okay, but you were inspired by getting the new guitar.
It was a few things. All the things you said were very right. And I had just moved out on my own for the first time. I always was very used to being around people all the time. Growing up with my parents and then moving in with an ex right away. And it was just like, oh my God, for the first time I'm by myself now. And I had just gotten this guitar.
Never move in with an ex. You should let them be an ex later.
No. Yeah. All of them became an ex. My significant other at the time.
Yes. Yeah. And now he's an ex. But then you were on your own. And was it lonely at first? And then you found some solo? Through music? Is that
precisely. It was a good way to process my emotions with this song in telling myself that it's nice to find peace being on your own and also find peace being on your own while doing this and connecting to my guitar and processing my emotions that way.
We should do a theme show, Phil. Songs that talk about guitars. I'm thinking of While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And Play Me a Song.
What songs about pianos?
The Guitar Man. No, any instrument. It could be Piano Man.
Songs about instruments.
That would be cool because there is such a bond.
The Tuba King.
There's a bond with musicians between their instrument, right?
Absolutely.
I have a friend who can't. He's got his hands are getting crippled. He's in his 70s. A poor man. And anyway, I feel so sad, but he's a really good classical guitarist. So sometimes he'll just sit with the guitar. And hold it. And it he said it feels comforting.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cindy, I wanted to ask about your band. How did you actually find the musicians? Because that can be really tough for people who want to get a band together, but they never have.
It started with my drummer. He played for my audition.
And so how did you meet your drummer, though?
So he played for my audition. I didn't ask him to play. It was someone that the school had picked out as the house band for the people auditioning. Okay. And I felt that he was always someone that believed in me and encouraged me a lot. So one day I said, hey, let's start this bossa project. And then I was like, actually, no, let's play jazz. Actually, no, let's play originals. So it started with him. Then he said, I have this roommate who's a great guitar player. And that was Brandon Wall. And then I walked up to my bass player in the school hallway at the time. And I said, I want to be in my band.
All right, so you met a lot of them through the school.
Yeah.
Which school was that?
We all went to the U of T jazz program together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a great environment.
Yeah.
So I was very lucky that way.
Otherwise, you're going on Craigslist or something.
And yeah, yeah.
And I went that route prior to being in the program.
And
it
was
very difficult.
And how was that experience?
It's difficult. I would rather play with people that I know what they sound like. You know, like I heard them around the school. I'd heard them playing. Or like some of them had a relationship together playing already, which is a huge asset. Having musicians that are used to already playing together.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did you work with Nathan Hiltz at all?
No, I don't
know
who
that is. He teaches guitar at U of T.
So now you've gone through the U of T jazz program. How do you feel that you've benefited from that? Because I think a lot of people might go, well, should I bother going to a jazz school like U of T, or should I just be on my own?
Honestly, it's up to you. I personally felt like I just had trouble communicating what my thoughts were musically and projecting them to my band members, because I did have a band prior to this program. And it was great. It was a lot of fun, but I often needed help from the other band members to like bring out my ideas. And the other thing was I felt very inclined naturally toward jazz itself. Like I was listening to it a lot. So I decided to explore that. And what I got out of it most were definitely the people that I met. All the players that I play with now and that I know in the music scene, my teachers, obviously, and now it's just, like I said, in my system.
Mm-hmm. Got a tweet in from Sharon. Music lovers also have relationships with music, a happy place to go.
Yes, absolutely.
Good point. Thank you.
And of course, the other good way, I mean, I'm in a band with Addie, who I met at the Songwriters Meetup. And I roped in a bass player, Tom, which I met at a different meetup. And then Addie roped in a guitar player, Karen, who he knows through a family connection. And then we roped in Alon, who's also from the meetup. So I say meetup.
meetup.com, the Songwriters Meetup, is, as we mentioned earlier, is a great place to find other band members and producers and co-writers.
And musical people, too, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Generally, people who love music.
It's a bit easier than going through Craigslist. That's
it's a bit more effective because they're. Not to really disparage Craigslist or whatever, but they're people that are sitting behind their computers. Whereas Meetup, you actually have to take the effort to go out there and mingle with other people, and
they show
up. And you can put a little bit of confidence in the fact that you're meeting good people there.
Yeah. And by the way, if you sign up for a Meetup, and you're not going to go, it's really good form to let the organizer know. I'm finding that with my new meetup I'm doing it. People just don't show.
Yes.
So I'm going to kind of train them to do that. I was thinking about when you said about knowing people that when people play together, it's a lot better. When I recorded my album way back a number of years ago, I hired a guitar player. And then he brought his bass player and his drummer, right? The guys that he did sessions with all the time.
Yeah.
And it really paid off in the studio. Like, they were so in sync, so to speak, that it was just bang, right?
Yeah.
So that really
helped.
You
had in sync for your backup band?
Yeah, they were available. So anyway, my guitar, I really like it. I like the surprise tacit and with no one to look to. Boom, tacit means stop, full stop there. And then on you go. And I love Pluck Away My Fears. I like the whole style of the thing. And I really like the fact that you've kind of made the guitar into a kind of human. Like, my guitar tells me what to play. It sings songs. Like, people could think that we're crazy when we're like that, but we're musicians. So, of course, it's going to communicate things to you.
Absolutely. And this particular guitar, like I said, I just go with what I play. I let it lead me.
Absolutely.
I listen to the wise strings pluck away my fears. And that's a very romantic vision and also really something beautiful. But I think we're running out of time. I just heard the band come in. Oh, there they are. Yeah.
Yep, it's coming.
Okay. Well, thank you, Cynthia. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much.
And
thanks for
having me. Great songs.
Thanks for playing live. It's been, we've had a bit of a drought of live performers.
Yes.
So it's such a treat to hear.
I mean, the performers have been live. People have been live here.
Yeah, we never have a dead performer here.
Not yet. Not yet.
So far, so good. You know, we're going to have to wrap up. So send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio. Our email address is feedback@songtalk.ca. We're on Facebook and YouTube. We have our own channel on YouTube, for God's sake. So go and see all these performers. It's
really
amazing. I'm even on there. Stop by the site at songtalk.ca. So we have our own Facebook page, right?
We got it all, baby.
We have everything.
We own Facebook.
Do we have that one with all the photos? What's that called? Instamatic?
We got Instagram. We got the Instagram.
The gram.
Yeah. Okay. We got the gram. So hey, by the way,
so the kids are calling it.
Subscribe to Song Talk Radio podcast. That's on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Stitcher.com. We're everywhere. Don't forget to sign up for our free newsletter. We'll be coming out with one soon.
Yeah.
Holiday edition.
Yes.
You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mentioned on Song Talk Radio on our resources page at songtalk.ca. Just another reminder, if you're in the Toronto area, please join us at our next Songwriters Meetup, Thursday, December 13th from 7 to 10. I think it'll be Dude who's doing it.
I think Eric is hosting that one.
Yeah, that'll be Eric, okay? Yeah. At the Transact Club, that's around Brunswick and Bloor in the Annex area. It's free to join on meetup.com, and it's free to attend the meetup. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link to Songwriters Meetup. You meet lots of people there. And, a lot of people, that's how they got on the show.
That's true.
That's right.
We spot the talent there and we say, would you like to be in radio? And they go, no, but tell me more. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Linda Lavender
on social media.
Over on the board thing, whatever that's called, is Michael Proudfoot.
Thank you, Michael.
And most of all, we'd like to thank you, the listener. You can follow Neil at
neilmodi.com.
Phil at
@ThePhilEmery on Twitter.
Cynthia
at @SIN_TH on Instagram.
Oh, you're on Instagram.
On the gram.
And Linda at lindalavender.com. And please do not follow Michael.
He's so paranoid.
Don't follow him. And please stop by the website at songtalk.ca to browse the past shows, all 247 of them.
Yes.
48 now. Find out how you could be a guest. You can sign up right on the site, right?
You can.
You can apply.
You can.
And keep on writing, folks.
Till
next time. Bye-bye.
Keep on writing.